Empire.
Welcome to the latest edition of All's Caps with former Capitalist defenseman Carl Osner. I'm AP hockey writer Steve Wino. Carl, a loss at Tampa Bay Lightning, 6-3. Lots of shots without saves for the Capitals. Some inconsistency. They've lost, I want to say, six of 10 games. What are your thoughts on kind of the up and down here? I guess it's not surprising given how many injuries this team's had.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not too surprised, and things have been a bit of a struggle. And you know, Tampa comes into DC and the Caps beat them 5-1. Pretty nice game for Washington. So you kind of expect that there's going to be something. I guess a little bit of a return, but you know the way 6-3 doesn't. I guess it doesn't look all that bad on paper, but with the way the game went,
it wasn't great.
Exactly, four first period goals for Tampa. Three of them kind of right after the other, and I guess three in 8 minutes of the game. That's where it is right there. There's a bit of an issue. They crawled back a little bit to put some goals on the scoreboard there, but not the way that you want the game to go there. And it just has been a lot of inconsistency, right? And this is, we've talked about the American Thanksgiving timeline, right?
Yep.
That's where you want to see where your team's at, and obviously things are a little bit different because the season started a little bit later, so maybe it's pushed back a little bit further from.
It's Christmas to me now.
Yeah, it's more Christmas now, but you want to see the team maybe a little bit more in the mix than they are right now, and so it's a little bit tough to see. But I still have confidence in the team to figure some things out. Now the teams are starting to come back to life, and the Caps specifically will have to battle maybe a little bit harder than some of them with the injuries that they've had. But it's been a little bit tough to see.
Were you in the building Friday night for the Lightning game?
I wasn't in the building.
That was the most fun crowd. I'm telling you, man, that the game was fun. The game was juicy. And the crowd, you could tell, was a little liquored up and been having fun during the afternoon. But, like, it was one of the more fun atmospheres I can remember for a regular season game.
Really? I wonder what the difference is. That's what you would like to have all the time. I'm telling you, like, it makes such a big difference on the ice when the crowd is into it. It's very clear on the bench when you're in a building where the crowd's excited and everybody's having fun versus one when it's the opposite. And it just, it makes the game so much more fun to play, so much easier to play. And, it's like a fan lesson 101, if you can bring the excitement every single time, and even after a goal is scored against your team, and you can find a way to find the energy again, it makes the building so much more fun to play in. And it's one of those ones where visiting teams will come in and be like, oh man, I love playing in Wash because the fans are always super engaged. And it's hard, I know, to always bring the intensity on the ice and off the ice, but it's really nice to see when a building's like that.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt when you got a goal scored 10 minutes in, crowd's kind of into it, and then they kill off a five minute match penalty, Sonny Milano scores right after. Like, it was the play on the ice made the crowd improve.
Yeah, exactly. So it goes both ways, right? Players have to be good, fans ideally would be good, and then you have the perfect storm. But I saw the replays of it. I didn't really see it live, but that's unfortunate. That's a tough way to come into to the team and then go out with a suspension like that as well. You hate to see it. Game's fast though. Things like that happen.
Look, I think a 3-game suspension is. We thought after the game it was going to be 2-5. 3 games didn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, because he's never been suspended before, but he's had some fines. Is that right?
Correct. Yes, and he's known for being able to take the body and hits. But you just, even if it wasn't intentional, where he stuck his shoulder out, you can't make that kind of head contact.
Exactly, and that's it. You have to have accountability. You have to be able to stop yourself. Even though things happen. You just need to be a little bit more careful now, right? And it's you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, the game is, it's fun because of the hitting, because of the fighting. People enjoy seeing, you know, it's like you like to watch things or do things that get the juices flowing because, you know, that's just it. It's not like you're walking down the street expecting to get hit by somebody, right?
Right.
But you like to watch hockey because you may get to see some of those big hits. So, you know, it's what I've noticed in football a lot too is, you know, you see so many of the defensive players just pull up now when a quarterback is, you know, going for a running play because, you know, obviously the repercussions are quite severe now, and it's going that direction in hockey. But, you know, luckily we still have a pretty good element of physicality. It's just, you know, cleaning things up and keeping it as fair as possible.
Yeah, and like, that's what I mean by like a juicy game is you never want to see that hit happen. But then all of a sudden Hathaway and Patrick Maroon fight, and there's almost a brawl, and there's a brawl later. And like, like not only were goals coming, there were fights coming, there were goals coming. That's what I mean about how it was a juicy game.
Yeah, for sure, and it would be nice. Those are the games where it's nice to have Tom in the lineup too, right? Changes the
darn right
the whole complexity of that, but you know, unfortunately, not there. But yeah, it's nice when you see some players step up and get into some of that rough stuff who don't typically get into it.
Mantha had a Gordie Howe hat trick, man.
Exactly. I mean, that's it. Like you, when you as a player, it's so funny. Like when you. You get yourself into a position where you have a goal and an assist, and then you're just looking for something just so that you can have a Gordy, because that's a stat that, you know, it just doesn't get talked about, but that's a very well-rounded stat, you know, to be able to find yourself into all three of those positions, you know, scoring a goal, assisting, and getting into a fight. It's a very, it's, you know, it's like the triple double.
Yes. Yeah,
in basketball, right? Like it's a pretty neat stat to have, and I think that those players that can get those, typically the ones that you want to have on your team.
How many Gordie Howe hat tricks do you have?
Oh, at least five, six.
Five of them? Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, the over under was going to be one, and it was going to be one for me.
I think I am trying to. I have only ever. One, maybe two games where I had a goal and an assist. So
right.
If I ever had multi-point games, it was typically assist and not goal and assist. So, yeah, I mean, it would have been nice to have a few more of those, but no, I didn't. But
yeah,
thanks. Thanks
you know, for a reminder. Yeah, yeah, sure. I was just checking. We know that you were not a fighter. We've talked about that plenty.
Or a goal scorer.
I mean, but I mean, you could put the puck toward the net, and sometimes it goes in.
Oh, it's funny. I mean, I'm just thinking about it now. Like, I know that I've had a conversation with buddies recently, even just like, you know, you take a lot of heat sometimes for not throwing the puck at the net. And I've told you many times how much I hate when the crowd is on guys. But you know, it's one of those things that who knows if I would have tried to put the puck towards the net, would I have maybe squeaked out, you know, 10 more points in my career? Maybe. Would I have given up, you know, two or three more odd man rushes? Maybe. But it's hard to know for sure. And look, I
that wasn't your job. We know that.
It wasn't my job. I know. But, you know, if I go back and I think about things I would have liked to have done differently in my career, I would have loved to have been able to put the puck on net a little bit more, you know, be able to float a few through, you know, maybe get a couple tips here and there. I'd say that's probably the number one thing that I wish I could have done a little bit differently was found a way to get more pucks on net. It's just so hard, and that's why those players are such a premium, the ones that can find a way to get pucks towards the net. It's just a very, very hard thing to do.
Speaking of that, when I was in Vegas for the player media tour at the start of the year, a bunch of reporters around me were asking some of the stars, like, if you could have any other players, kind of a quality from any other player. Most people said McDavid skating, Matthews shot, Ovi shot. Rasmus Dahlin said John Carlson's point shot, and John is great at doing that.
He really is, and I think that he's always had a great shot. You know, one of the things that I guess two of the things I've really noticed over the last, you know, 5 years, I guess, not being on the ice with him, is his passing has gotten like so much better. It was, he was already a good passer, but I think it's gotten, you know, to a point where it's absolutely elite. But his shot too, like he's gotten so accurate with his point shot, whether it's a slap shot or wrist shot. I feel like he's just so well aware of where the puck needs to go now and how to get it there. And you know, it is one of those things that it's a lesser talked about skill, is just being able to put a puck on net and accurately. Not too many guys can do it. You know, you see obviously Carly do it, Makar does it really well. And then, you know, I struggle to think about, you know, who are all those other guys. You know, I guess Brent Burns puts a lot of pucks at the net as well. But yeah, it's either quantity or quality, right? Like, you either throw everything there or you throw less there, but you throw really, really high dangerous shots at the net. And you know, there's very few guys that can do both. I think Carly does that pretty well, though.
Yeah, he can get the shots through. When we come back on AusCaps, Matt Wyrick, who is the rookie beat writer for NBC Sports Washington, will join us next to talk about what it's like to cover hockey now after years of doing baseball. Welcome back to AusCaps with former Capitals defenseman Carl Alston. I'm AP hockey writer Steve Weiner. We are happy to be joined by Matt Wyrick, the rookie Capitals beat writer for NBC Sports Washington. First of all, Matt, thanks. Welcome to the beat. Thanks for having us. What are your thoughts, I guess, so far? I know you've done nationals in the past in baseball. What are your early impressions on covering the Capitals and being around hockey now?
What's up, guys? Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for the warm welcome. It's been fun so far getting to know this sport. Hockey is a sport I really didn't start covering and following intently until around the time they won the cup. You know, I grew up in the area, so obviously went to a few Caps games growing up. And
as long as you didn't yell shoot at Carl, everything's fine.
Yes, I did not. I can safely say. You know, it's been fun. It's definitely a lot faster pace. I think that's the one big thing for me is baseball. It's a slow game. It's a game I've covered for a long time, very comfortable with it. But you're able to kind of watch things unfold in real time and react to them pretty quickly and easily. Hockey, you look down for 2 seconds and you feel like you've missed half the game. So that has definitely been probably the biggest adjustment so far.
I'm curious, do you think, like, because baseball, I mean, there's so much analytics in baseball, stats are a big deal. Do you find that, you know, say you weren't paying close enough attention to, you know, the entire baseball game, do you think looking at the stats that have been broken down of a baseball game, you can get a pretty good picture of how that game went? Do you feel the same for hockey, or do you feel like that's a game that you personally need to watch closely just to kind of get a better feel for it versus checking out the stats at the end of a game?
Yeah, I think especially with the StatCast numbers that have come out about baseball, I mean, you can look at the velocity of the pitch, the type of pitch, where it was hit, how hard it was hit, what the expected, you know, rate of catch was on the type of ball that was hit. I mean, even if you were everything, where data, I feel like in hockey is a little bit harder to find. I think you can overall kind of look at goalies' performances through the numbers a little bit easier because it's a bit easier to quantify. But with the forwards and following, you know, how a play broke down and things like that, you really only know how a goal happened by watching intently how the play developed.
Yeah, for sure. I think baseball tells an easier story of that. I'm curious, like, and Carl and I did this podcast because we did this in the locker room for a decade, but dealing with hockey players versus baseball players, what is different in the locker room clubhouse sort of contrast?
I feel like, well, for one thing, it's a sprint after the games in hockey. The locker room opens up right away. You're able to go right in. With baseball, I mean, we would go in and wait for 15 minutes for Davey Martinez to come out and then go into the clubhouse and probably another 15 minutes while guys are showering and you're standing there for 45 before you finally have all of your quotes. Where in hockey, you get everything within 15 minutes. So that's very efficient for sure. But as far as the players are, you know, there are a lot of similarities. I think that baseball players tend to speak in a lot of cliches and I've definitely seen a similar trend here in hockey. So trying to break through that level of questioning to kind of dig deeper and get more answers. I think as I kind of get used to being around these guys, talking to them a little bit more, maybe they'll open up more instead of kind of giving the company line from time to time.
Yeah, so it's you know, it's funny because you know right away. Well, I mean, I could pick up which players listening to them the next morning on whatever I was listening to, NHL on the Fly or or TSN, whatever I was watching, which ones, you know, just give the same old stock answers, and then which ones will expand a little bit. And it is nice to be able to find those ones, but there's so there. I find that it depends on the team too. Like some of them, the members of the media, you know, I noticed it here in Wash, where I felt free that I could explain what was on my mind, and that it was going to come out that way, you know. Sure. And then there's other places where you say it one way, and then, you know, it just fits into the overall story, however it fits in, you know, whoever's writing that story. I feel like the players here maybe have a little bit more freedom and feel like they have a little bit more freedom to say what's on their mind and what they want to say, because they know it's going to come out that way. You know, I don't know how you feel, you know, because you know baseball, you know, as well as you do, when you're writing your what you're writing in hockey, do you feel like you, you know, you use the quote that the player gives you to write your story a little bit more, or do you already have your story and then try to fit the quote into it, if that makes any sense?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, when I first introduced myself to a lot of these guys, I was telling them, like, look, you know, I was covering baseball 2 weeks ago when I showed up for training camp, so this was all very new, and I was trying to pick up things as I came along. And I'm going to ask some dumb questions from time to time, but that's going to kind of give you the freedom to really show me the game through your lens, where I feel like I am learning hockey through you guys, learning how this offense works, how you guys' team style works, where I'm kind of telling the story from their perspective. I definitely try to let the quotes tell the story more so than maybe my own self. You know, if we're going into a feature, things like that, obviously that kind of expands. But first, on a day-to-day basis, covering games, things like that, you know, if Lars Eller comes out and says that, you know, we really need to get the D-men more involved on the 5-on-5, you know, I'm absolutely going to write around that and not necessarily say, well, I thought, you know, maybe they could bring up somebody else, you know, whatever. I definitely have been kind of ceding to them, as they are the experts in this field.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to do it. And it's also cool to see how when somebody brings up an analogy, right, how they see the game too, because one person may see it completely different than the other one. And I love too, like, it's great when if you can get to a player before the coach talks to the team
all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's so good too, because you can hear what the player says, and then the coach will have their media availability and say one thing, versus if a coach comes in right after a win, say, for example, and says, oh, you guys, you know, we were great today on the forecheck, you know, great job, everybody, blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, in the media, all the players said, yeah, we were great on the forecheck today, right? Just kind of reiterates whatever the coach said. But it's nice to see when you can get a player's opinion versus, you know, the coach, because they were watching it on the bench, versus, you know, if you're watching it, you know, upstairs, you know, in with the media, it's different from all different levels. So, you know, I love when you can paint an entire picture and have everybody give you their own analogies on how the game went too.
What I always love to do, sorry to interrupt, Matt, is there would be times, like, especially when I was on the beat, Carl, where, like, I would see a game a certain way from up top of, like, this is my read on the game, and then go in and ask you guys about it, or ask Bruce or Adam Oates or Dale Hunter about it. And then the question was, do you write it how you saw the game, or do you write it how you guys saw the game? Because sometimes it's not the same thing.
Absolutely. And also, like, there is often more than one answer. I mean, you aren't just necessarily pointing to a play and saying this guy was the one dude at fault. I mean, you know, the players who were up on the rush, they were up there by the puck, they saw one thing, but the guy standing at the back saw another. It's the guy on the bench saw something else. Up in the media saw the whole thing. I mean, there really is no one straight answer. So when you do have the players and the coaches and they all get together and they decide, okay, this was the reason we lost tonight, and then they speak to the media, you're kind of only getting, you know, one facet of really, you know, the crux of what happened.
Yeah, and I think it's cool too, because you know, it is good to take them all in, because I can give you an example. There was a play that happened to me in Montreal. It was against Tampa, and a puck got cleared, and I think Kucherov had a bit of a head of a steam, so he got to the puck first in our corner in the D zone. And last I checked, you know, there was nobody really that close to us, right? So I'm taking an angle from the inside out, right? So I'm going to try and force him up towards, you know, the wall, to the side wall. And, you know, not knowing that Stamkos had jumped off the bench and beat our other forechecker up the ice. And so I pretty much gave him a free lane to backhand a puck right to the middle, to the slot. You know, easy play to Stamkos, one-timer goal. And the media asked me after, like, you know, what did you see on that play? Like, how come you played it the way you did? Because to them, it looked like I just allowed him to get to the puck and then pass it to the middle for an easy goal. And the way that I saw the play was, it was me and Kucherov, and there was nobody else wide open in the slot, and I was going to make sure he went away from the net. And just explaining it, you know, the way that you guys would see it versus the way that you'd see it on the ice versus even just what was being said on the ice, you know, it's nice if you can paint that entire picture. I know it's hard sometimes to get all the words into a story, but, you know, it is a very, you know, it's just nice to get everything as well-rounded as possible.
Yeah. Carl, you had a baseball-related question for Matt, and then we're going to get to stupid questions.
Yeah, I mean, I just watched the Nolan Ryan documentary on Netflix, and Matt, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but, you know, as a guy that likes to play baseball and enjoys watching it, but not really following it that closely, I was shocked just to see, you know, how many records Nolan Ryan has, and you know, how difficult it seems like some of those were to get. And I'm curious, you
sounds
know,
like Gretzky to me.
Sounds like Gretzky to me, exactly. Like, he's got, you know, the strikeouts, the no-hitters and all that stuff. Like, would you be able – do you think that getting a no-hitter is harder than a shutout for a goalie? Like, I would assume it is, but, it, you know, can you compare the two, you think? Or do you think a no-hitter – is quite a lot tougher than a shutout for a goalie?
I'd say a no-hitter is definitely tougher. You know, these days, last couple of seasons, we've probably seen between three and six no-hitters a year for the entire league, where I feel like the best goalies in the NHL are at least getting two a season.
Yeah, I mean, and some of the best 5 to 10, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So have two no-hitters in a single season, you know, Max Scherzer did it for the Nationals a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And I believe it happened one other time since, but it's a very rare feat. So I would say no-hitter is definitely tougher, probably, you know, in the, you know, air of like a four-goal game, maybe even a five. But in today's baseball, pitchers just don't tend not to go deep into games these days. You know, innings are on the decline for starting pitchers. Relievers are very specialized now in that they come in to face the middle of the lineup and they can pump 99, and you just must rather have, you know, those guys in the game than a tired out starter who's, you know, going on 100 pitches. So just the way the game has changed, it kind of is not as conducive for no hitters anymore, which makes Nolan Ryan's record all the more unachievable.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then one more question for you, because we had this discussion. Who's the MVP this year in baseball?
I would say that American League, I would definitely have to go Aaron Judge. I know Shohei Ohtani did what he did, being a fantastic pitcher, fantastic hitter. But Judge, you know, breaking Roger Maris's AL home run record. And not just that, but you look across the board, he was just the outright best hitter in baseball by a wide margin. I think he absolutely deserved it, even with what Ohtani did. And over in the National League, I think that Paul Goldschmidt on the Cardinals put together a fantastic season for them. Him and Nolan Arenado, Manny Machado, made for a very interesting race down the line. But Goldschmidt, I think he was kind of robbed earlier in his career, so maybe this is a little bit of bias because I felt like he deserved it at other points in his career. But certainly he had a good enough season to warrant consideration, so he would be my pick.
Don't get me started on the Ohtani and Mike Trout and guys that are not on playoff contending teams being MVP. The V in valuable MVP stands for valuable. So this is how I vote for hockey awards. Okay, before I get too fired up, when we come back on All's Caps, Matt Weirich will be the latest victim of Carl's stupid questions. Welcome back to All's Caps with former Capitals defenseman Carl Osner and NBC Sports Washington's Matt Weirich. I'm AP Hockey Steve Wino. And now for our favorite portion of the show, Carl's Stupid Questions.
Yes, it is our favorite for sure. All right, Matt, you know how this works now. So I've got six questions for you. First question is, so you said you grew up around this area, so I'm seeing if my armchair theory works. What scares you more, a tornado, an earthquake, or a hurricane?
Oh, man, that's tough. I would have to say probably a hurricane. We had more tornado drills as kids that we had to prepare for, but hurricanes that did make it up here, I think we had two that knocked out power and stuff, so that they had the most lethal of consequences, I guess. So I'll go hurricane, though tornadoes we were definitely more prepared for.
How can you be prepared for a tornado? You're going to lie under your desk? What are we doing here?
Yeah. I think we put hands and knees, and they always said to put your lock your fingers over your neck to prevent shards of glass from catching you there. I don't know how effective that would be for like my 8-year-old hands, but that was at least our strategy.
Oh, that's hilarious. I don't think there is really any preparation except for get into a shelter and lock the door. Okay, number two. If you could have the exclusive from anyone, the tell-all exclusive, let's go with just living people. Who would it be?
Tell-all exclusive, just living people. I would have to go, it's baseball, but Tom Verducci, who has been covering baseball, Sports Illustrated, for going on decades now. I've had the chance to talk to him once or twice. He's a really interesting guy. I like a lot of his takes on the game, and he was also somebody who got to go through Blue Jays spring training as like a pretend player. And I would love to just hear all. Yeah. Like they had signed him up to go for like a week or so, take batting practice with the team, practice, all that good stuff. I'd love to just hear all about that. That seems like one of the coolest things a reporter could do.
That's pretty phenomenal. Actually, I would love to see that more often. I think it'd be a great thing to do.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we can work that out with the Caps so I can suit up.
Do you think you could hang? Do you think you could skate out there?
Absolutely not. No doubt. I've skated maybe 3 times in my life, so it would be pretty bad.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, this is a question that I don't know that there is a right answer for, but we were just talking about it yesterday. Is do you think there are more eyes or legs in the world?
I've heard this debate. I will go with legs. Because if we're talking centipedes and millipedes, you guys know how many of those there are in the world. I mean, we're going on like billions. So ants too. Yeah, I'm taking legs for sure.
So that's what I said too. But then I was told, you know, think about the ocean and how many fish are in the ocean, and there's zero legs. And I was like, that's a good point. But I still feel point. Like there's way more ants and that stuff. But I don't know. For some reason I find it fascinating, and I think I would just love to know if there's any way we can figure that out. Wino, what do you think about that one?
This is a good one. I do think it's legs. I even with the fish and all that, I think there are more insects than there are fish.
Okay, because we're also, what about snakes too?
Oh, don't bring up snakes.
Oh man, it's not snakes.
Don't bring up snakes. Anything but snakes.
I know, I hate snakes. Oh man. All right. So, okay. We're Thanksgiving just right around the corner. What's your favorite Thanksgiving side?
Slam dunk, sweet potato with marshmallows on top. Easy choice.
Marshmallows.
Oh, the marshmallows in the oven that are like just toasted just right on top. I mean, it's unbeatable.
Why? What about you?
You know what? I mashed potatoes are usually my go-to. Stuffing is number one, and I know, I guess some people call it dressing when it's not actually inside the bird, but whatever you want to call it, stuffing, dressing, a little bit of sausage in there, it's perfect.
Okay, all right, well, I'm gonna have to disagree with both you guys on that one, but that's a different debate.
We're gonna have a couple more shows before Thanksgiving so we can get into this.
All right, fair enough. Okay. What's an appropriate date to start decorating for Christmas?
Oh man, don't ask my fiance because she's already started decorating our apartment. But I would say the week of Thanksgiving. Like, I think as a kid, you know, the Black Friday, we would always go up in the attic and pull down the Christmas stuff. So by the end of that weekend, with Thanksgiving being on a Thursday, our stuff would be up. So I would say right around Thanksgiving. If you want to do it a little bit ahead of time, maybe you're not hosting for Thanksgiving and you want to just get started, I respect it. But you can't host a Thanksgiving party and have Christmas decorations up. I think that's wrong.
I think that's a very fair answer.
That's the correct answer, yes.
Yes. Okay, last one is late night snack. What do you have in late night after a game is finished up and you're kind of writing away, still kind of pecking at something, what are you going to grab?
Usually it's cereal. I'm a big cereal guy. 1% milk. I'll go Lucky Charms. Sometimes go for the healthier stuff. But I think I used to have it like every morning, and I've kind of got away from having it in the morning, but I'm still addicted enough where I got to have at least one bowl a day. So I'll probably have it at night more often than the morning now.
Nice. Wino, do you remember who also said cereal?
Was that Scott Abraham?
It was TJ and Lenny Oshie.
Yes.
Hey, okay. Give me a little ammunition to use in the locker room later. Good to know.
Yes. Well, theirs, I think, was specifically for breakfast, but cereal any time of the day counts, I think. So I'd say you're right on par there. Okay, that's six. Let me quickly add these up for you here. See if we're the same there. The Hurricane, Tom Verducci. Okay. Really like the Tom Verducci answer. That's a pretty cool one. That brings you up to 225.5 points.
Does that beat? Right. Please tell me that beats JJ. Sorry, JJ.
I have to check. It ties Dennis Weidman, I see there. It does. Yes, it does.
All nice. Right, so you got your bragging rights over your colleague there, Matt.
I can hold that over him. Awesome.
Matt, thank you very much for joining us on AusCaps.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later in the week.